The Iowa caucuses are just 2 weeks away, and Howard Dean's rivals for the Democratic presidential nomination are trying to knock the former Vermont governor from his position as frontrunner without alienating too many of his supporters. In yesterday's Des Moines Register debate, Dean was attacked for his positions on trade and the war in Iraq, and his strength as the potential Democratic Party candidate against President Bush in November was called into question. Dean fought back, telling rivals they had been co-opted by the agenda of George Bush. NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson reports from Des Moines.
Yesterday's debate was the first formal event of the election year, ending the preliminary campaigning known as the invisible primary, where success is measured in terms of poll numbers, money raised, and excitement generated by Democratic activists. In just 2 weeks from now, actual voters will have a say when Iowa Democrats go to their caucuses to choose a winner in their first-in-the-nation test of the Democratic contenders. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean is the front-runner nationally, but in Iowa, he's locked in a close battle with Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt. But it was Joe Lieberman, a candidate trailing in the polls who isn't even competing in Iowa, who took the lead attacking Dean. Dean was asked about Lieberman's repeated charge that if Dean's policy had been in place, Saddam Hussein would still be in power.
I actually don't believe that, because I think given the time that's elapsed, we could have done the proper thing, and which George Bush's father did, and put together a coalition to go after somebody who was a regional threat, but not a threat to the United States. Our resources belong in fighting Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has got us in a position where we are now worried because we're at a level orange. We need a concentrated attack on Al-Qaeda and on Osama bin Laden. Saddam Hussein has been a distraction.
Joe Lieberman.
But I don't know how anybody could say that we're not safer with a homicidal maniac, a brutal dictator, an enemy of the United States, a supporter of terrorism, a murderer of hundreds of thousands of his own people in prison instead of in power. And to change the subject, as Howard does, and to say that we haven't obliterated all terrorism with Saddam in prison is a little bit like saying somehow that we weren't safer after the Second World War, after we defeated Nazism and Hitler, because Stalin and the communists were still in power.
Then it was Massachusetts Senator John Kerry's turn. He questioned Dean's temperament and judgment, focusing on Dean's habit of making statements that he or his campaign later has to retract or clarify. Kerry, Gephardt, and Lieberman have all described this as a potential problem if Dean becomes the party nominee.
You said that if George Bush released his records, you would release your records. Then when you found out George Bush had released his records, you changed. Another example of that, when you were asked by the Concord Monitor about Osama bin Laden, you said we couldn't prejudge his guilt for September 11th. What in the world were you thinking?
I'll tell you exactly what I was thinking, Senator. I understand that Osama bin Laden has essentially claimed responsibility for these unbelievable terrorist acts. And as an American, I want to see Osama bin Laden get what he deserves, which is the death penalty. But I was asked that question as a candidate for President of the United States. And the candidate for President of the United States is obligated to stand for the rule of law.
Former Illinois Senator Carol Mosley Braun stayed out of the food fight with Dean. So did North Carolina Senator John Edwards, who's made a point of running what he calls an optimistic, positive campaign. Although many Democrats believe Edwards is trying to maintain good relations with Dean in the hopes of securing the vice presidential slot, should Dean become the nominee. But Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich attacked Dean from the left on Iraq, demanding to know why Dean didn't call, as he has, for U.S. troops to come home immediately. And Gephardt attacked Dean for supporting trade agreements such as NAFTA and China's membership in the WTO. And then Lieberman attacked Dean again, this time asking how Dean could run against the Bush administration's record of secrecy if Dean himself refused to release all of his own records as governor.
Howard Dean, every day you tell people across America they have the power, and you're right. You have the power with one stroke of the pen to open up your records to public view. You have the power. I'm prepared to give you the pen. Why don't you sign this agreement and open your gubernatorial records to full public view?
What we have done is we've stepped aside. We've turned everything over to the Attorney General of the state of Vermont, and the Attorney General of the state of Vermont will go to court, and a judge will look over every document in our records, and they are free to release whatever they'd like, and that's fine with me.
Back to Senator Lieberman.
That is an unsatisfactory and disappointing answer. Why should you have to force a judge to force you to do what you know is right?
Retired General Wesley Clark, who has chosen not to compete in Iowa so he can devote more of his attention to New Hampshire and the other early primary states, did not attend yesterday's debate. Neither did New York City activist Al Sharpton. Kerry and Dean were both asked to confront a perennial problem for Democrats, the party's difficulty in winning votes in the South, particularly from white Southerners. Dean said that was one reason he was trying to talk about his religious faith more openly.
In the Northeast, we do not talk openly about religion. I've spent a lot of time in the South. I have a lot of friends from the South. In the South, people do integrate religion openly, easily, into their life, both black Southerners and white Southerners. I understand that if I'm going to campaign for the presidency of the United States, I have to be comfortable in the milieu that other Americans are comfortable.
Kerry, like Dean, an upper-class New Englander, said his military record would help him relate to voters in Dixie.
I'm a veteran. I've fought in a war. They particularly respect service to country in the South. I also have fought as a law enforcement officer. I led the fight to put 100,000 cops in the streets of America. I'm going to talk mainstream American common sense to our country. And there are incredible numbers of people in the South who are losing education, losing health care, losing their jobs because they're being drawn away by slogans rather than real choices. And in the end, if I'm the nominee, I can always pick a running mate from the South and we'll do just fine.
It's not clear yet whether yesterday's attacks on Dean will make a difference. So far, they haven't changed the dynamic of the race. But Dean's rivals are hopeful that with the holidays over and the first ballots just weeks away, voters are finally paying close attention. The hammering Dean took in Des Moines yesterday certainly didn't dent his confidence. Dean was already making promises for a second Dean term.
I am going to balance the budget, and I'm going to do it in the sixth or seventh year of my administration. We're also going to have health care. What?
Do you have anything else?
The former Vermont governor didn't seem to see any humor in the notion that he would not only win the White House in 2004, but would go on to win a second four-year term as well. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Des Moines.